I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Nate. Join with me, as always, my co-host, Tone.
Good evening.
Welcome back, Tone, and our moderator, AJ.
What up, boys?
We are back. After nearly 3 years of a hiatus, the boys are back in town. I think our last episode was March of 2023, so we are coming up close to 3 years that we haven't made a show. We never really said anything. We didn't give you guys any ideas that we were leaving the podcast game. We just ended up just not picking it back up for the next NFL season. As Tone and I ultimately hung up our headphones, our moderator kept grinding. I just want to give a quick shout out to our guy, moderator AJ. While Luck Changers was not a thing, he kept going with the podcast. He has a show called 50 States, 50 Murders, where him and his co-host Sarah take you on an auditory road trip across the United States. They pick a murder from each state that they go over. Not only do they do that, they kind of give you a rundown on the history of the state, and it's a super fun listen. Unlike the Luck Changers podcast, where you kind of have to listen at a certain time, what's cool about their show is that you could go and watch and listen to it at any time. It will still be new. It's not like you're going to have to watch a game that week just to listen to the podcast. You could go check that out on Spotify, 50 States, 50 Murders. AJ, I just want to ask you real quick. We are on, I think you got out 37 episodes, 38 maybe.
Yep.
There are still 12 states. Do you plan on finishing out the 50 states?
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words. It's definitely the plan. had a little bit of a life event that came up. So we've kind of taken a step back ourselves, but definitely plan on getting back on there here very soon. It's been fun.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Good. Life does happen, and I think that's a perfect kind of way to start season three, perhaps.
Yeah, life does happen. That's for sure. Yeah, like you said, it's been a while since we've been in here. I think, I want to say either Ohio was just legalizing sports betting, or it hadn't even legalized it yet. I think we were still on the old bow when we were recording.
Yeah,
we were definitely ahead of our time, I'd say.
Yeah, I know it was for entertainment purposes only, but technically you don't really have to say that anymore.
No, we are fully legal,
yeah.
Which is crazy because there's a chance you're not listening to us while you're in Ohio, so this could just still be completely illegal to you. You can't do what we're doing, which I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, it was still legal, and it was kind of a niche podcast category for us. There wasn't a whole lot of sports betting podcasts. Obviously you had the Even Monies and Bet the Boards, but now I kind of feel like it's kind of washed out. But
yeah, for sure, it's
we're different.
Yeah,
we're local guys. If you're listening, you're probably one of the homies. Northeast Ohio, shout out, appreciate y'all. And we're back. It's super exciting to be back. We're gonna run down the Super Bowl. We got a bunch of different props to give you. We are doing a Super Bowl sheet. If you're listening and would like to play along and join, we have the formatted sheet that we could send out to you. $10 a person, winner take all. I think there's 19 props we're going to do. Yeah, whatever I'm sorry, I fucked up. So we'll that's a quick edit. Unless we just keep it rolling.
Yeah, we'll just keep rolling for now.
Yeah, for now, and then
we'll see.
We're back. It's been 3 years.
Was quick.
Yeah,
was
quick. We'll see.
Did I say the fuck?
Word? What's the timestamp on the F bomb?
3:50.
That's pretty good.
Did I say fuck?
Yep.
I think so. Wasn't me.
Torture. All right, AJ, what else are we got going on in this episode is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL season is all but over. We just had the Pro Bowl. Thoughts, opinions on that? That was really weird. Did anyone even dive into that?
I had no clue it was on until I got a message in the group chat.
It looked like it was held at a practice facility. Like, there was no crowd, just an indoor flag football game. Very weird. I know the Pro Bowl has been kind of trash for the last couple of years now. So, yeah, I mean, season's pretty much over. All that's left is the big game. That's NFL Super Bowl 60. That's going to be at Levi Stadium, Santa Clara, California. We have the NFC champ Seattle Seahawks versus the AFC champ New England Patriots. And this year's Super Bowl is actually going to be a rematch from Super Bowl 49. I know you guys remember this Super Bowl. It was still talked about to this day. That's because Super Bowl 49 is when Tom Brady and the Patriots defeated the Seahawks 28-24. That's the infamous title game where it came down to the one-yard line. You would think you got to hand it to Marshawn Lynch. That's not what happened. Threw a slant, and it was intercepted to conclude the game. I don't know if you guys have been watching. They always make a big deal of interviewing players and coaches leading up to the game. And they keep asking all the players and coaches that same question. Comes down to the one-yard line. What are you doing? I think the Seahawks coach even said, I'm done answering this question. I'm tired of it. But I think a lot of times with the Super Bowls, it's hard for the game to live up to the hype. But when you look back at that game, when it comes down to the final play, that's really all you can ask for.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a great game. Maybe you didn't want Tom Brady to win another one. That's fair. But at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for is the last play of the game, an interception to seal it off. So it made me wonder, in our lifetime since we've been watching Super Bowls, I mean, what is your guys' favorite Super Bowl?
Tone, I'll let you lead off with this one.
Yeah, I had Super Bowl 49. Okay. It was hard not to. It's funny because I didn't even put two and two together that it was a rematch of these two teams. But I was just thinking about how exciting it was. So I remember I was watching it with Morty. Shout out Justin Morton. Watching over at his old house. And I had money on Seattle. So it was the change in emotions was – and I was – early on, I was a newer better too, so it was a lot of fun. Even though I took the L, it was cool that we thought you were going to win, and all of a sudden you lost. So it was a great game.
Yeah, I actually have two favorite Super Bowls, if that's allowed. First off, I got to go with what was a Super Bowl 42, I believe it was. That was back in 2008 when the New York Giants ended up beating the undefeated New England Patriots.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I had that on my list.
That David Tyree catch, the helmet catch, was unbelievable.
I think all of America minus Boston was rooting for the Giants.
Exactly.
So that was really cool for everyone to come together and root against the Patriots.
Oh, it was such a good game too. And then I think my all-time favorite Super Bowl was Super Bowl 38. Can any of you guys guess why I enjoyed Super Bowl 38 more than most people?
Oh, man, I'm guessing the Vikings. Had something to do with the Vikings?
No, it certainly didn't.
Was that the Pittsburgh Seahawks one?
I can tell you right now, I have no idea who even played in the game.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
So if that gives you anything?
No idea.
I got nothing.
Well, I will say, back in 2004, 10-year-old Nate saw his first titty. Shout out Janet Jackson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was, I remember we, at our house back in, what was it, 20 years ago, I'm just a little dude, we had a big old party, and then the titty pops out, and I think that's when I became a man. So I would say Super Bowl 38 was a life changer.
That was pretty cool.
I mean, obviously there was a titty tassel. I played Grand Theft Auto Vice City. I've seen titty tassels. So that, other than that, I mean, come on. Super Bowl 38 has to be the best.
That was a good one.
Yeah, good answer. Do either of you guys have a Super Bowl that you absolutely hated, least favorite Super Bowl?
Oh, dude. Absolutely. I don't know. That Broncos Seahawks Super Bowl when they just beat the hell out of Peyton Manning. I didn't care that the Broncos got their they lost, but what a terrible game to watch. It was boring by halftime.
Yeah, that was a stinker.
And that was a tough one.
The Patriots Rams not too long ago, where it was 13-3, I think that was the final score. Very hard to watch.
Yeah.
I'm sure Vegas made a lot of money on that game.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about this game, obviously. And we'll get your guys' takes as far as if you think this one has the possibility to live up to being an exciting game. What I like about this one myself personally is Super Bowl 60 is what we could probably call the unlikeliest of Super Bowls. And that's because first time since 2004, both the AFC champ and the NFC champ both missed the playoffs the season before. And the odds for these two teams was pretty incredible. Seattle Seahawks to win the Super Bowl during the preseason, plus 6,000. And the Patriots were plus 8,000. So it kind of felt like when the playoffs started, this was a very possible matchup. But during the preseason, that wasn't the case. And I guess it's hard for me to go back that far because it doesn't seem that unlikely now that we're here. But if you're looking at preseason odds, that's what it is. It's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad news or the Debbie Downer here, but it's hard for me to see Seattle going to the Super Bowl. We had that guy. We were 14-3 with this guy. The guy I'm talking about is Sam Darnold, obviously. We let the guy go, and now we see what he's really able to do. He's arguably doesn't have a better team around him than the Vikings were last year. I know Tone wasn't a big Vikings guy. We were frauds, I believe, mm-hmm. what he was like calling us. But, yeah, starting the preseason, I did not think Seattle would even sniff the playoffs. I thought that Sam Darnold was a bag of garbage. We got rid of the right guy. We got JJ. We got 9 on our team. What a relief. And now you see how good the Seattle team is, and I think that's all Sam Darnold.
What do you think, Tone? You think this was unlikely, or are you not surprised by this one?
I would say I'm pretty surprised. I didn't think Drake May would turn into the superstar quarterback that he did. Because, I mean, if you look at just stats alone, I mean, they had a easier strength of schedule, sure. But he was amongst the top of the leaderboard in all the categories. He just played fantastic. And I wouldn't have thought that at the beginning of the season. And same with Sam Darnold. I mean, I know he was a solid quarterback last year with the Vikings. This year, I wasn't sure he would be so good, but he's turned out great. Jackson Smith and Jigba's been an awesome number one. No more DK Metcalf there, and he's really showed that he's the best wide receiver on that roster and potentially in the whole league.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was mentioned in a group chat that he might be the best receiver in the NFL. And, I mean, Nate, I know you might want to argue that one, but it's kind of hard to argue. I mean, dude's a stud.
I don't know if I can argue it. I think... Obviously, recency bias is telling me that, yeah, he is the best receiver in the league. The year he put up with the team he's on, a lot of people didn't even think, obviously, like I said earlier, they're not going to make the playoffs. There's no way. They got Sam Darnold. They got rid of DK Metcalf. They're selling. They're rebuilding. But it just goes to show that is Ohio State wide receiver U? Is that?
They are a factory.
Yeah. I know a lot of people think LSU, but... I think it's a foregone conclusion that Ohio State is wide receiver U. And just wait till you see Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith, and it just keeps going.
And I was looking through, so all of us on this podcast, amongst some of our other buddies, did a NFL win team total, not team total, just total wins.
Stupid.
So we each got, there's 8 of us, we each got 4 teams, and you know the total amount of wins for the season or through week 15 won the league. So shout out Morty, he ended up winning. I did notice that Seattle was actually the last pick for Jared's team.
That's crazy.
So I mean, weird. He had one of the second to last pick. I don't know the exact number, or maybe he had the wraparound.
Yeah.
Nonetheless,
yeah.
He definitely went in the bottom 10. So many other teams went before him, and then the Patriots were actually Justin's second team.
Okay.
So
right.
That makes a little more sense, but the Seattle really came out of nowhere.
Who did Morty have to beat us all? I know he went NFC North heavy, correct?
He did. So Morty had the Bears, the Lions, the Packers,
oh my.
And the Chargers.
Oh, damn. How did we let him do that? Oh, I bet the Bears were probably a pretty low
Bears
pick.
And Chargers were his last two picks.
Yeah, oh. Yeah.
So he hates
it. Solid.
I'm not going to say my team. I didn't have fun. No fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next year. Let's go. Next year, I think let's go all season. Because I had the Saints, and I really thought they were going to win me some dough. But we went in at end of that week 15.
Well, little fun fact. Oh, shout out our guy, Justin Jarvis. He's like, hey, why don't you run the numbers to see what would have happened if we would have went through week 18 instead of stopping at 15. It wouldn't have mattered. Morty still would have won. I think Morty still would have won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then Jared still would have came in second. So it really didn't matter too much. Except for AJ's teams fell off a cliff.
Oh,
they
no.
went from like third to like six.
Who the hell? Oh, did you have the Ravens?
I did.
That'll do it.
Cardinals, Rams.
Oh, dear.
So.
Yeah, rough.
But, yeah, maybe next year we'll talk about it and kind of see. Maybe we will go longer.
I don't hate that.
So, sticking with the Super Bowl, you know, we kind of started to dive into it. But quarterbacks are always the talk of the town when it comes to the final game of the year. Patriots quarterback Drake May, he's coming into this game as the second youngest quarterback to ever start a Super Bowl at just 23 years old. Now, me personally, like, I like Drake May. I don't have anything against him. But it does really piss me off that the Patriots have this great quarterback who's probably going to win MVP this year and could possibly win the Super Bowl. It doesn't seem fair. I have nothing against Drake May. Mike Vrabel's a cool coach. This definitely isn't your father's Patriots. So I don't really have any qualms towards the Patriots. I'm not ready yet. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, it really is hard to hate this Patriots team as opposed to like the Tom Brady's back in the day and
it's not Bill Belichick led Patriots. It's like a different vibe, it just still doesn't feel fair yet. I mean,
I like Drake May's wife.
Doesn't feel great.
She's great. What a sweetheart. What a breath of fresh air that the NFL needed aside from like I don't want to say it, but like Brittany Mahomes back when they were putting her all over the media. Taylor Swift is NFL face now for some reason. Why don't we? Well, I don't even know her name. Miss May. What's her name? Anyone know her name?
Mrs. May.
Yeah. Oh, Mrs. May. I apologize, but she had like Bake Miss. Hey, that's fun. This Patriots team is fun to like. Not a big Stephon Diggs guy personally.
Yeah.
Kind of a Shahid, but I like this Patriots team. I like Mac Hollins. I think he's a weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
This defense is fun to watch. Drake May, obviously, you keep mentioning him. I like when he scrambles. This is a fun team to watch. I think this might be a super fun Super Bowl that we have ahead of us.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Jake, he's so young, too. He's 23 years old. I mean, he's a baby.
That's crazy.
He's not even in his athletic prime yet. He's got a lot of time to learn the game. And
yeah, probably going to win 7 Super Bowls, so that's really cool. Love to see it.
Easily be around for a decade, maybe two.
So on the other side of that coin, we got Sam Darnold, and I think a lot of people forget about this because he didn't blossom immediately, but he does come from that 2018 draft class, and that was the same class where we had Baker at 1, Darnold actually went 2, Josh Allen at 7, yeah, Josh Rosen at 10.
Shout out.
We'll forget about him.
Real estate.
We had Lamar Jackson at 32. So with that class, you got Pro Bowls, Baker won Rookie of the Year, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson both have MVPs, playoff wins, but the one thing this class never had until now, a Super Bowl appearance, and that's with Sam Darnold. So he kind of went a different route. He went through the carousel. I guess Baker did too, but Sam Darnold, he started at the Jets, went to the Panthers, the 49ers, the Vikings. Now it kind of seems like he has a permanent fit in Seattle. I don't see how he goes elsewhere. So I guess my first question is directed towards Nate. Tone, you can kind of jump in on this one if you want, but I'm kind of curious, as a Vikings fan, you guys had this guy. Seemed like he had a real nice rapport with Justin Jefferson. They decided to cut ties, go with J.J. McCarthy. Does that more so make you want to root for him, or does this more so make you want to go against him?
So I want to be spiteful so bad, but
You can be petty. That's all right.
I don't think I can with Sam Darnold. It's not, he didn't really do us dirty. Mm-hmm. We didn't offer him the money that he felt like he deserved. He bet on himself. He got the contract with Seattle. We offered him money. It's not like we wanted him just out of here, but we offered him essentially backup quarterback money.
Yeah.
When you draft a quarterback in the top 10, someone like a national champion like J.J. McCarthy, you kind of expect him to be the future. And I think we just fired our general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, and he was in a tough spot. I can't really be mad at the guy. I know everyone wanted to go with J.J. J.J. is the future. McCarthy's the guy. And hindsight really is 20/20. I did not think this would even be a thing. I know, obviously, he played well. He was a great Minnesota Viking. The last two games in that purple and yellow were some of the worst quarterback play I've ever seen. And looking back on it, it was a lot of offensive line issues. We were deteriorated. Our run game was piss poor. I think I'm rooting for Sam Darnold. I don't want the Patriots to have another decade of success. I mean, like I said, I don't hate them, but man, it's hard to keep watching the same teams, the same uniforms in the big games. It was kind of nice to see the Chiefs miss, but
yeah,
I'm rooting for Sam Darnold. Shout out him. I hope he gets a huge contract extension. I hope he gets a couple more Super Bowls. I'm not going to be petty. Maybe this is a little good karma for me in the future. Maybe I'll get to see the Vikings do something one day.
Okay. Maybe. And it's hard not to root for the guy. I even saw Justin Jefferson was rooting for Sam Darnold. So obviously he left a good impression on that team as a whole. And he just seems like he kind of deserves it. Because going back, wasn't he the guy that saw a ghost?
Yeah, that was him.
He was just a joke. I mean,
he was the guy that was out for mononucleosis.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
That was like a running meme.
Right.
I hate to see it, so I'm happy to see him here. And, you know, it's hard out here sometimes. So I like to see him grow, and I'm rooting for him to win.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. He's had a lot of podcast interviews. Recently he was on Bustin' with the Boys. He just seems like a cool dude. Like, seems like a good, genuine dude. And as a Browns fan, I mean, it might be apples oranges, but the way we kind of did Baker, I'm not saying that's what the Vikings did to Sam Darnold, but just to have someone do good for you and then you let that person walk out of your building, it's like I'm naturally just rooting for Baker to just kill it. So it's hard not to get behind Sam Darnold and really root for him to get the win. Again, it's not your father's Patriots, but it's hard to root for the Patriots still.
Yeah, and you got to think, like, back when he was seeing ghosts and the whole mono thing, I don't think that's a Sam Darnold thing. I think the Jets are just a cursed organization. I think they're doing their players dirty. Ever since that Rex Ryan run that the Jets were a team to be messed with, Bart Scott, can't wait. Those teams,
yeah,
that was the last Jets team that was worth a shit. And now you got these Jets, they ruined Justin Fields. Mark Sanchez, not so much. I think they got the most out of him. Every time someone goes to New York, their career just completely falls off.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a New York Jets organization thing as far as the Sam Darnold treatment.
Worth mentioning, that game where he was seeing ghosts, that was against the Patriots.
Was that was Tom Brady still there, or was he in Tampa by then?
I don't know who the quarterback was at that time. I just know that it was that Patriots defense that had him seeing ghosts. So.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Maybe we'll his little revenge in mind.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That should be $1,000 on Seattle Moneyline every day of the week.
So this is going to be Seattle Seahawks' fourth Super Bowl. In Super Bowls thus far, they are 1-2. This is going to be the Patriots' 12th Super Bowl. And that's obviously the most in NFL history. Patriots have 6 wins, which is tied for first. They also have 5 Super Bowl losses, also tied for first. And I did mention to you guys at the top that Seahawks were plus 6,000, Patriots were plus 8,000. So I was kind of curious. Like, I was looking at futures for 2027. How could we compare that to next year? Now, if we look at two teams that both missed the playoffs and match those odds. In the AFC, the Colts are plus 6,000, and the Falcons are plus 8,000. So, while looking at the playoffs at the start of the season, start at the postseason, this game doesn't seem that crazy, you kind of look at that and you would think the Colts versus the Falcons next year would be a pretty wild matchup. And that's what we have this year.
It would, but you know, at the end of the day, I don't think it's that crazy. You saw how good the Colts were before Daniel Jones went down. They were arguably, I didn't really check the lines of Super Bowl favorites, but I'm sure they were in the top five or seven when they were, 9-1 or something like that before they fell off. And then the Falcons, they have so many pieces. From Bijan, Drake London, Kyle Pitts finally decided to be a football player this year. Obviously, question marks at quarterback. Is Michael Penix their guy? Kirk Cousins is long gone. I don't think he'll ever be a starting quarterback in the league. I don't hate those odds. Are we able to parlay that to see what kind of odds we get? Or is to get both those dudes in the playoffs for next year? That might
be a juicy payout.
It would be. Even if you threw a little five guy, you'll forget about that $5 by next Super Bowl anyway, unless you win. I'm just throwing it out there. That is super interesting, though, if the same odds from last year to this year make the Super Bowl would be the most NFL thing I think I've ever heard.
I think it really comes down to it's showing how much parity there is in the league, which is what we all want.
Absolutely.
So we don't have that dominant Patriots league or Patriots team. We don't have – I mean, even for a few years, I feel like we always had a dominant team, the Kansas City Chiefs. It's nice to not really know who's going to win.
Yeah.
And to me, I think these odds kind of exemplify just how much parity there is, and it's pretty cool as a fan.
Isn't there – I could be wrong. I feel like there's a stat that for the past – I don't know how many Super Bowls that either the Patriots, Chiefs, or Seahawks were in the Super Bowl or something like that for the past however many years that it's just a crazy stat. Maybe there's one more team added to that. So I don't know. You can look it up. But we've seen a lot of the Patriots. Even in our lifetime, we've seen a lot of the Seahawks, the yep. Legion of Boone guys. I mean, we've seen this. We've literally seen this.
We've seen it.
Let's Bears versus Jaguars would have been a cool Super Bowl. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You might be on your own on that one.
Yeah.
Bears, Jags. All right. All right. So now that we've kind of discussed the Super Bowl, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this whole thing. We're going to do what we do, and that's good old sports betting.
Yeah.
So Sunday at 6:30, we have the New England Patriots, who are +4.5 points. They're going to be going against the Seattle Seahawks, and the over-under for this game is 45.5 points. So whoever wants to kick us off, I want to know what is going to be your plays for this Sunday's game.
It's tough. So I'm just going to be, transparent. And the only bet I've made so far as far as a side or a total goes is I use Fanatics. Shout out Fanatics. They're 100% money line profit boost. And I took Seattle. So I got Seattle on the money line at -115. The odds are too good to not take it. Both these teams are incredible. Seahawks have won 9 games in a row. Patriots have won 6 games in a row. I mean, their defenses are elite. Both offenses are solid too, though. So I don't really know what's going to happen. I'll probably potentially try to jump on some live action, maybe in either direction if I can get some points. But for right now, getting Seattle at -115, I think they have the best unit on the field, which is the defense. And I think their offense is pretty solid as well. So that's the pick I have. It's a little cheeky. Unless you have that Fanatics profit boost, I know you're not getting it at -115, but I didn't want to give out something that I wasn't actually taking. So that's what I got so far.
Yeah, so Tone mentions that -115, which is crazy because if you were just to take the spread of Seattle laying that 4.5, I'm currently on Bet365. That's my personal favorite. For me to lay 4.5 points, I'm getting -115 on there.
Yeah.
So I could get the same odds for four and a half is a crazy number.
You couldn't beat it, in my opinion. I mean, could have went the other way, but I think Seattle's just the better team. Although I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots came out and won either. So again, I might try to come back on the match and get something live, but it's hard not to take Seattle just to win. I don't care about any points, just to win the game.
No, yeah, I definitely don't hate that. I haven't personally. I'm not a big straight bet guy. I've really been into the two, the four leg parlays. Nothing super crazy. But if I were to take this line straight out, I'm laying those 4.5 points because with that 4.5, you're going past two key numbers, that 3 and the 4. I think they're begging you to take that money. That's why they're giving you -105 with the Patriots getting 4.5. They're begging you to take them.
Sure.
I think there's a chance that this game could be a blowout. If, say, Rashid Shaheed takes the opening kick to the house, which I think there's a good chance. That's the reason they traded for him. He's not a big threat on the offense. He's not seeing a bunch of targets. He gets maybe one, sometimes two catches a game. He comes out. He makes a big play, 7-0 Seattle. Drake May, a young 23-year-old in the Super Bowl, is chasing a Seattle team that's ready to win this game. I like Seattle laying that 4.5 points. I'm not even going to sweat that. I think they win by a touchdown at least.
Okay. All right. So we got Tone taking the Seahawks money line. We have Nate taking the Seahawks -4.5. That, I almost say I want to call that a luck it in. That's pretty close to a luck it in. That's,
yeah. If I had to, I would probably lay the points. But, yeah, I think we can call that luck it in. Why not? We can do whatever we want, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair. I like the Seahawks myself personally. It's who I think is going to win. It's who I want to win. So, yeah. I like the Seahawks play a lot.
I will give out one more play.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is something that I it's hard to say. I don't really love taking totals in this game at all because, right, again, we got the best defenses and we got some of the best offenses. So it's really just hard to understand who's going to dominate and win that match. But one bet that I do like and that I haven't admittedly taken yet, but I'm planning on.
Okay.
And that's going to be the Patriots team total in the second half over 9.5 points. So okay, that's just the Patriots to score 10 points in the second half. I'm thinking either they're down and they need to play catch up, or they're up and they want to keep the foot on the gas. We know that Super Bowls start off historically slow, so I don't expect a ton of points in the first quarter, potentially in the first half altogether. I thought about taking the Patriots team total just outright over 19.5. I know that's a stupid bet because it's the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a little more comfortable with them scoring 10 points in the second half. So that is another play I'll give out. Again, I haven't taken it yet. This might be another play that I try to take live.
I'm sorry. What were the odds on? Was it just a -110?
No, it was -125.
Okay. I don't hate that. I think they could do that in the third quarter alone.
Yeah. Touchdown, a field goal. You'll mm-hmm. be good to go.
Yep.
I like that.
And so this admittedly is kind of risky. So we know that. So essentially, if we look at just not either half, just points in general.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at points in general, the last time a team that was not named the LA Rams scored 20 points or more against Seattle was week 12 with the Titans. So okay, it's a little risky. But one thing that kind of gives me a little hope in this is that the Rams have done it twice in Seattle's last five games. So they scored 37, they scored 27 points. I know that, you know, the Rams are the best offense in the league. This Patriots offense wasn't too far behind them. This is what made me want to originally go with the Patriots to score 20 points. I think if the Rams can score 37 and 27, potentially the Pats can get to 20. I get nervous because I know historically the Super Bowl starts off really slow in the first quarter and second quarter. This is why I defer to the second half play, but I like both of those. Admittedly, I don't love totals at all. So if you're listening and you only want to make one bet, I would probably take either Seattle on the money line or on the spread. I probably would avoid the totals. But nonetheless, that is another play that I did have on my radar.
All right. Cool. So there's two plays and a potential optional pick for you if you so choose. So something we always do every year, we like our Super Bowl prop bets. I feel like we usually do a sheet every year. It's more so just for fun. You can probably find all these individually on a sports book if you'd like, but I think it's more fun just to print it out and do it amongst your friends. Like you said, Nate, winner takes all. So I have those plays in front of me. We'll just kind of go over them as we sit here, and we'll get everybody's take. A lot of these are just super random. I don't think there's a science behind it. It's luck of the draw, but they are fun regardless. It's nice to, especially if you don't really have a dog in the fight, you don't really like either team per se, it's cool to like have that sheet in front of you and just kind of sweat out the national anthem and, you know, sweat out the halftime show. Makes it a little bit more interesting. So we'll start there. National anthem. We have Charlie Puth. Any of you guys a Puth fan?
Not
personally.
Personally,
but. I didn't know he was doing it until I was putting this together today. So I was like, okay, national anthem over under 120 seconds. I'm like, wait, who's even doing it? And then I saw it was him. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
He's extremely talented.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll give him that. Like he's
a musician.
I'm not gonna lie. I was Googling him as you said that. So.
Oh no. I think
Charles Otto Puth Jr.
Ooh, Otto's
American
a cool
singer,
name.
Songwriter, and record producer. So I think he is fire, like more behind the scenes. But I don't know.
That's what
don't
I quote was me on thinking. That. But he's got a couple popular songs.
He's kind of like a music nerd. Like he really gets down into it with all that musical stuff. So
he definitely has my like respect. For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Like a Mark Rebule kind of guy.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Man, shout out.
So national anthem is going to be over under 120 seconds.
Holy shit.
2 minutes. So what do you guys think? Over or under?
I don't think Francis Scott Key drew it up as a two-minute song, did he?
No.
I got to go under.
But then again, we did just mention my guy's a music nerd. He could put some different shits in there. I'm gonna take the over. I think he's going to make it a... It's going to be like a free bird kind of thing.
Okay. I'll take the under, so I hate the entire national anthem. I'll just be hating every second. So
120 is a lot.
It's a lot of seconds.
Yeah, that's a long time. I'm going to take the under as well.
Is someone writing these down?
I got it.
I got a sheet right here. I'm filling my own out. Real quick, so later on in these sheets, there's other options as far as like most receiving yards, rushing yards. If you do pick other and you're joining our group, I feel like you have to give a name.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I don't really know if I like taking the field.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you got most rushing yards. All our only options on our sheet is Stevenson and Walker, and then others. I feel like others.
Maybe Drake May.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's going to be later on. I just wanted to get that thrown out there before we continue.
All right, so naturally, after the national anthem, you go to the coin toss. It's pretty simple. Heads or tails?
I always go tails.
Yeah, what does Randy Moss say in the game?
Tails never fails, yes, baby. Sir.
Yep.
Might as well just luck that in.
Oh, yeah.
That was the easy one.
That was a three-way we had.
So, first offensive play of the game. Is it going to be a run or a pass attempt?
Oh, it's got to be a run. You're not going to let 23-year-old Drake May start with a pass, huh?
I think it's going to be a play-action pass attempt.
I love it.
I like that. I'm going to be boring and stick with the run. I think you just kind of got to get the nerves out and just hand it off to the guy behind you. Who will score first? Could be a field goal, could be a touchdown, could be a kick return, could be a defensive recovery. It doesn't matter. Who puts the first points on the board, Patriots or Seahawks?
I got to go Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm going a little more in depth with this. I think the Seahawks do end up scoring. Only because that if the Patriots scored, then they're going to have to sway the line. And I feel like if the Patriots score first, Seattle money line will get absolutely hammered on the books. So I think they're going to let Seattle go ahead and
Nate's
score
in
first.
Straight conspiracy theory.
I am
sometimes
deep
you gotta
in
be.
It.
I respect it.
He's got his tinfoil hat on. I appreciate that. Serious, okay. Sir. All right, so that's a luck in for the Seahawks. First turnover of the game. Is it going to be a fumble, an interception, a turnover and downs? Or this year they included missed field goal as a turnover.
Okay. Will anyone even take field goals is the question. The NFL doesn't seem to like those anymore.
Yeah, not a big field goal league.
No. Can't take that. Although it'll probably hit since I said that. Mm-hmm. I got to go with, turnover on downs.
Oh, that's the winner. The first one. Okay.
I like that one. I mean, man, it seems like every week I'm texting you and just like, man. Why not take your points? Teams love going.
Just take the points.
It's like 10 years ago, no one went for it, and it was so frustrating. Now, it's like, please, I'm like begging for a punt. Please punt it.
Is that Dan Campbell thing?
Do not go for it here. And, I mean, maybe it's a Cleveland thing. I don't know. But it seems like turnover on downs is just.
I saw a tweet or something. It was funny. It said something like, motherfuckers really used to go for it on fourth and inches. Or kick a field goal on fourth and inches.
Yeah.
Or punt on fourth and inches. It's just funny.
It don't happen anymore.
The league has completely changed.
Right? I'm going to go fumble. I'm going to leave this tin hat on. I'm going to go out on a limb here. The opening kickoff of this game, if Seattle's getting the ball first, will either be a touchdown or a fumble. Rashid Shaheed will either take it to the house or he's going to cough the ball up.
All right.
Heard keep it here
eye,
first.
Yeah, keep an eye on that.
Cool. I'll be. I'll keep it interesting. I'll go interception on that one.
Yeah, that's fun.
There you go.
Which team will commit the first accepted penalty? Now, not the first penalty. Maybe it's declined. It's got to be the first accepted penalty. New England or Seattle?
Nate, who's the league one to win?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here comes alien head Nate. All right. I think the Patriots are going to get the first accepted penalty.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, luck that in. All right, so we have the race to 10. Who is the first team to jump out to 10 points on the scoreboard?
No one? I don't know.
Ooh, yeah, neither would be a wild play. No, that'd be
crazy. I have to go Seattle because I'm just going Seattle.
It's hard not to after all the shit that I was just saying about them yeah. scoring first. So, yeah, I got to ride on Seattle.
Yep. All right. Next, we're going to go to the Super Bowl halftime show, which is going to be Bad Bunny. And the prop is, will anyone accompany Bad Bunny during the halftime show? Yes or no?
Real quick, are we going to do the, will either team score during the last 2 minutes of the first half?
I skipped over that one.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm Googling Bad Bunny.
Yeah, okay, so will anyone accompany?
Benito Antonio yes Martinez. No.
Who?
Bad Bunny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I knew that.
He's a Puerto Rican rapper, singer, actor, and record producer. Dubbed the King of Latin Trap. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Latin Trap's a thing. That's sick.
Oh, then I of course he's going to have someone accompany
has
him.
Has to. He has
you
to.
You don't hang out in the trap alone?
Yeah, no, yeah.
True.
That'd be a lonely
true,
trap.
True. Yep. Yeah, I also didn't throw it on here, but I saw his over-under for songs was like 11.5.
Holy shit.
So they're really expecting like, no reason why I was like, some. You're not doing 12 songs by yourself. Someone's got to come out there and help you out.
Right.
Tone, what's your favorite Bad Bunny song?
Let me pull up Google.
I mean, when you're like in your car and you're like driving to work and you're like, I really want to listen to some Bad Bunny. Like,
if I really want to get it, it's going to be Titi Me Pregunto.
Okay. You think he'll open up with that?
I think he might end with it.
Okay. Okay. So,
yeah.
All right. Cool.
But I'm a big Despacito guy personally.
That is a good one.
A great song.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
All right. Now, this one is always my favorite on the prop sheets, and that's going to be total number of players to attempt a pass. And, I mean, you think, obviously, it's two. Can't be more than that. But I feel like we always get a maybe like a trickeration handoff, and he throws it to Nick Foles in the end zone, or maybe someone gets hurt and someone comes in for couple of plays. You never know.
Dang, that's a good one.
So, total number of players to attempt to pass, over, under, 2.5.
I hate this line because I feel like everybody in the entire world is going over.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's what they do. Another guy throws a pass. I remember when Joe Judge, when he was coaching the Giants, it was, they're on the opponent's 20-yard line field goal range. They run a fake punt where they throw the ball to the center and turn over and is an incomplete. But I'm gonna be a little niche with it. I'm gonna go under. I think they're gonna be pretty straightforward. Vegas is gonna take everyone's money.
I gotta go under. The defenses are so elite. I'm just thinking maybe it's not worth the trickery.
Fair. I'm gonna go over just to be contrary.
I think that's the play.
Yeah. All right, next one's pretty simple. Which of the two quarterbacks that we glossed over at the start of the show, who has more passing yards, Sam Darnold or Drake May?
Oh, man.
I have to go with Darnold just because he has a better wide receiver core. I mean, he has the best receiver in the game by far. And Drake May wants to use his legs more. I know their offense was solid. I'm still not sold on all their weapons. I thought their running backs were awesome, but then in the postseason, the running backs haven't scored a single touchdown. I haven't really done a lot. It's been more Drake May led offense. So I might be wrong, but I have to go with Darnold.
Golly. I'm going to go with Sam Darnold as well. I love the point you brought up. Well, Drake May's probably going to get more than 8 to 10 rush attempts. That takes away his throws. His wide receiver core is not great. Obviously, it's Stephon Diggs. Then you got a bunch of random guys like Kayshon Booty, Mac Hollins, Mario Douglas. Shout out Hunter Henry, who is currently questionable for this game, which I know he's going to end up playing, but it's still kind of a hiccup that you don't exact. But yeah, I'm going to go Sam Darnold. Him and JSN are extremely fun to watch.
I think that's interesting because I feel like for the most, I don't think it's been announced yet, but Drake May is going to be the MVP this year. And we all three just took Sam Darnold. So, you know, starting out, like if you guys had the opportunity, would you take Sam Darnold over Drake May as your quarterback?
All right. So is it like
starting fresh, completely hypothetical?
Okay. And I knowing
get
the
what we know now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got to take Drake May. He's
23 years old. Yeah. He's better than Sam Darnold. He's 23 years old. I got to take him.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
I thought so, too. I just thought it was interesting that we all three took Sam Darnold. So, okay.
Well,
all right.
If this question was passing and rushing combined, I might. Actually, I'd probably still take Darnold because Drake can only get so much rushing. But, yeah.
I will say one of the most underrated parts of Sam Darnold's game is his legs. He can run. And if you can get Sam Darnold over 10 rushing yards over 15, whatever book, you jump on that.
Okay.
He's up to 37.5.
Yeah. His over under touch, his carries are what, 9.5, 10.5?
I think it was open like low 30s. Now it's high 30s. So it's tough.
All right. So that's a perfect segue for our next prop. I'm actually going to fix this one because it was which running back will have the most rushing yards. But you guys are talking about quarterbacks out there getting it on the rushing side of the thing. So let's just go with which player will have the most rushing yards.
Oh,
maybe one of the QBs gets in there and rushes. Maybe they do a handoff to Shaheed and he takes it 80 yards to the house. Who knows? So,
For me, it's hard not to take Kenneth Walker just because, you know, the Seahawks have the best rushing defense. So, if I look on the Patriots side, I thought they were a running back by committee, although Henderson hasn't really lived up to the expectations the last month. He was killing it. In theory, though, I have Stevenson and Henderson kind of sharing the load. Drake May might also get in there as well. So there's just, I think they potentially as a team could have more rushing yards. But when you factor in the Seattle defense and then how they're running, they just run by committee, I have to go with Kenneth Walker because Charbonnet's hurt. So.
Yeah, no, Charbonnet is an absolute brutal loss.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a year that he's really stepped up, and having that two-headed monster in the backfield has definitely helped Sam Darnold get to where he is today. Not saying that's like the whole reason he's here, but it certainly doesn't hurt when you have two very capable running backs like that. But I'm gonna go to the wayside here, and I'm going to kind of foreshadow a little bet that I sent the boys earlier in the week. I'm going to go with Travion Henderson. I know the odds are just abysmal. They're not. He's probably not going to get it. But if he breaks off one run, I was telling these dudes earlier that I saw one of those, like, I don't know how to describe it, where they, a bet boost, a prop boost, where if you took Kenneth Walker and Ramondre Stevenson just to get 30 rushing yards, they made it even odds. So that tinfoil hat's coming back on because I don't think both of those dudes will get 30 yards. Just if Travion Henderson has one good run, breaks out a 40-50 piece, I think he's got a great shot at doing it. And the odds for him to do it, I think it's plus 2,000.
Okay.
I'm going to Travion Henderson. I might end up losing this prop here, but I'm going to keep riding it. Shout out the Buckeyes.
I was going to be contrary on this one, but I guess I'm not because I was also going Henderson on this one, too. I mean, he's an Ohio State guy. I'm going to be biased. I wanted to keep it exciting because Walker is obviously the correct answer. But you know what? Let's spice it up a little bit. Let's go with an Ohio State guy. So I like that. And we were talking about this. Technically, every time they play, he's listed as the starter, but he just doesn't play. So maybe he actually will start. I don't know. Probably not. But Ramondre Stevenson's not a terrible answer on this one, but I like Henderson. Next one up. This is a good one because there's a plethora of options, and that's who will have the most receiving yards.
I thought there was only one option.
Yeah.
There's more than you would think.
Jackson, Smith, and Jigba. I got to be boring on that one. It's just, when I look at this Patriots receiving corps, now maybe someone gets a big catch or two. But if we're just looking at, you know, consistency, mm-hmm. Jackson, Smith, and Jigba is just, he's getting the targets. He gets the yak. He gets everything. So for me, it's hard not to be boring, but I got to take JSN.
So I'm going to agree with him, but if there were to be one guy who gets more receiving yards than him, it's going to be Kayshon Boutte.
Oh, okay.
He's a downfield threat. If he gets the targets that some of these wide receivers in the NFL get, I think he's a top 20 talent in the league, but he just doesn't see the targets. So I'm going with JSN. He's the best wide receiver in the game, best in the league. Okay. But keep an eye on Kayshon Boutte. I think he's going to have a couple big ones.
Okay. I'm going to go Seahawks on this one as well, except I'm going Cooper Kupp. I'm going to have a throwback game. And I like Cooper Kupp to see. I think JSN's going to get a lot of double teams, a lot of help good over point. The top. I think it's going to leave Cooper Kupp one-on-one, and he's been in the Super Bowl before, Super Bowl MVP. So I'm looking for Cooper Kupp to have a throwback game Sunday.
I like that.
Next one I was going to toss, but I put it back on here because I feel like there's been a few years where I couldn't actually get the absolute answer on. It's tough. Everyone keep an eye out on this one. It's going to be color of Gatorade poured on the winning coach.
I feel like this year they're going to do better of documenting that. I've been hearing it like a lot on a lot of like radio stations, and that they're going to do better with documenting the color. And I'm going to go with the OG. No, wait, fuck, it's not the OG. I said fuck, but...
A lot of F-bombs.
Lime, green, yellow, that's the OG. Mm. We call it Gatorade. I'm going to go with orange.
Okay.
That's my favorite Gatorade flavor, so I'm just going to just do my... I like purple's cool, but I'm an orange guy. I'm going to go orange.
I was actually also going to go orange, but now I just got to switch it up because there's too many colors now, too, so... Give me the OG. No, because like, who wants a whole thing of lime? That's crazy.
Smells weird.
Give me cool blue.
Okay. Because
it's fire. Like, why would you not want a whole ass thing of cool blue?
Hold on. The lemon lime Gatorade is fire, though.
I mean, maybe it's like, hey, let's waste this entire thing of lemon lime Gatorade because it's trash. So maybe, okay. Actually, I'm going to switch my answer to the lime.
I don't want
to
sway you. I'm just saying I don't want this show to be hating on lemon lime Gatorade because it is fire.
I mean, if you're going to take it, I can take shape. Cool Blue.
I'm taking Fierce Grape because that's the GOAT Gatorade.
I can't be mad about the Fierce Grape. So I'll lock in my Cool Blue.
I'm more of a Riptide Rush kind of guy as far as the purple goes.
Okay, well.
That's the lighter purple, but.
All right.
Cool. I mean, grape's fine.
Fierce Grape's the GOAT. But all right. So orange, blue, and grape. But just let it be noted we're not hating on lemon lime. It's a good flavor. It's a good flavor, guys. Come on.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's good. It's refreshing.
It's not the one I would pick personally, but like it's something that I wouldn't not drink.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. This next one, it's going to be, will either team score during the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter? Not to be confused with game, because it could go into overtime. This is strictly fourth quarter. Will either team score in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter? The hopes is yes, because if not, I feel like it's not going to be an exciting game. But I don't know. Nate, you got your tinfoil hat on. What do you walk me through the last 2 minutes of this game, because you have the script. I want to know.
I do. I have the script. It's going to be no.
Okay.
Seattle is going to have a minimum of a 2-score lead. A field goal is not going to do any difference for the Patriots in this last 2 minutes. They're going to go for it on fourth down. They'll probably end up turning it over on downs, and Seattle's going to need a clock out. I wish it were a better game. Roger Goodell emailed me earlier this week. He told me what's happening. Everything that I'm saying is 100% true. If you're still listening and you're listening to me, then I'm lying like a motherfucker. But anyway, there's not going to be a score in the last 2 minutes of fourth quarter, I'm telling you.
I'll also go with no.
All right, hate that. I'm going to go yes just to be exciting.
Love that.
Oh, yeah.
No is probably the correct answer. Time management in football this year has been so frustrating. I think there's a good chance that there might not be a score in the last 5 minutes the way that the season's been this year. I could see someone having the lead and just absolutely eating the clock for the last 5 or 6 minutes. But I'm going to say yes just because we want a good game here.
Love that.
We want something exciting. All right, we got a couple more left here. Next one's pretty simple. I think we're all going to be locking this one in, obviously. But who wins the game?
Seahawks.
Yeah, Seattle Seahawks.
All right, Seahawks across the board. Kind of sounds like Nate has the Hawks winning big. Tone, what do you think? You see a blowout as well, or you think it's going to be a little bit closer than that?
I don't see a blowout. I mean, to me, I think it will. I don't know if it's going to be 4.5 points. I would like to think it's less than it's single digits.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I kind of thought I saw maybe like a 24-21, maybe a 24-20 type of game. But yeah, I don't think it'll be a blowout. But that being said, who knows? Maybe it'll be 38-10.
Another thing you kind of got to keep in mind when you got this 4.5 number, that teasers are still a thing. People are going to want to tease it not only past that 7, but if you get the Patriots plus 10.5, you're assuming you're going to it's an automatic win, correct?
What are you going to tease it with, though?
Fuck me, the tears. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
the tough one. Yeah, you almost have to go to a different game entirely.
Yeah, because that over-under literally could it could be another one of those 13-3 games, or it could Seattle can score 42 points by themselves.
That's interesting you brought up teasers, because this was actually the first year I stopped doing teasers, although I did them in a different way. You know, I did alternate line parlays. Because okay. The teaser odd market is just cooked.
Yeah, it's dead.
I'm they not spending minus 135 on 2-team 6-point teaser. I'm not doing it. I won't do it because I'm too smart of a better to do that. It doesn't make sense in long term. But one thing you can do is take alternate lines, parlay them together, and maybe get minus 120, minus 115. Another suggestion, I didn't learn this till maybe like week 15 on Fanatics. They have dynamic odds for their teasers. So what I mean by that is, if I go to DraftKings, it's always minus 135. If I go to FanDuel, it's always minus 135.
Mm-hmm.
Fanatics, depending on which two legs you take,
okay,
changes the odds. I've gotten plus 110 for teasers. I've gotten minus 110. I've sent these to AJ. Mm-hmm.
Straight 6-point teasers?
Plus sometimes 110? 7 points.
And for
for 2 legs. I'm not bullshitting. Interesting. Because what you can also do, this is free game for those listening, by the way. You can go in and I can start as a 6-point teaser and then I can individually adjust those lines. So I might you know, maybe I got the Patriots plus 10, but I want the over-under to be more than 6 points. I can just adjust that one line and they'll update the odds in real time. But if you're in the teaser market or interested in teasers, I'd recommend Fanatics all day because, again, now sometimes it might be more than minus 135. Sure. I wouldn't touch those, but sometimes you might get minus 110, minus 115. And, again, I'm not lying. Sometimes I've gotten 7 points and gotten minus 115, and I've sent those to AJ with the screenshot, so wow. It's all valid. So, like, that's the kind of stuff I attack during the season once I learned about that. But I would not recommend doing minus 135 6-point teasers. Because in the long run, it just makes it that much harder to get that edge.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like a lot of times they make the lines based off thinking that you're going to tease this game. I don't know why, but it just seems like it's too good to be true.
And that's why it's a tease.
Yeah. And another thing about Fanatics, big fan personally, but I think it's the only book that the more you bet, the more rewards you get out of it. They give you those tickets. Obviously, they're bonus bet tickets, but like Bet365 or FanDuel, you could make 100,000 bets, and they won't give you a fucking thing.
Yeah.
If you bet on Fanatics, they'll give you those tokens, and if you don't want to use those for bonus bets, you could just go buy some merch from Fanatics.com. Like, a big thing that drew us to Fanatics itself was their promo. You get a free NFL jersey with a $50 bet. I happened to win my $50 bet, so they gave me $150 Justin Jefferson for a loss of $55 on their part because I won my bet. So I'm sitting here. I got a nice fresh JJ for them paying me. Shout out Fanatics. That's definitely my top. I think it's my second favorite book.
That's also my second favorite book.
You're a big FD guy?
No, I like DraftKings is my favorite book.
Really?
What's I only like FD because I won AJ? Bets on them.
I had some rough experiences with FanDuel this year, but same. I still have been using them just because it's just the easiest for me right now. But I'm going to look into Fanatics because don't use them. I don't have a login for that, so I'm going to look into that.
Well, let me know if you need a referral.
Well, yeah, if you need a referral.
Anyone listening to this, reach out to me directly if you want a referral. We'll make sure you're headed in the right direction.
We'll drop a few emails. We'll just let you pick which email you want the referral from.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I need to check that out.
Shout out to me directly.
You ever dabble with Bet365?
I have not.
All right, I know we're kind of getting a little sidetracked with the book. Sorry, this is our comeback episode. Who cares how long it is? Well, who knows when's the next time you're going to hear us? The cool thing about Bet365 is that when you're betting a game, it says right underneath the player's name what they did the past 5 or 6 games.
That's nice.
So you could bet trends. I'm a big trend bettor, and I think that's what ended up winning me a good amount of money this season was Bet365 and them showing me the trends. Sports betting is all it is are trends. That's all it really is. If you're able to kind of break down the numbers and figure all that out, you're going to figure it out. You're going to win some money, but it's not easy. It takes a lot, and you're going to lose a lot just to win. But with Bet365, it does make the trends a lot easier to keep track with.
All right. All right, two more guys. We got, will the combined score be over or under 48.5 points? I'm going to take the under just because of the way the entire season's been. I'm a trend guy. I feel like the unders have just been killing it. Professional, college, hasn't been great for the overs, at least for me personally. Sounds like you guys are leaning towards the unders. We have two really good defenses, but maybe someone's going to go with the over. Let me know what you guys are thinking.
You got it at 48.5?
Yep.
I got the sheet at 46.5, and I know the live line's 45.5 right now.
We can change it if we want to. I had it at 48. You guys want to change that?
It doesn't matter. I'm taking it under 48.
Okay.
I'm taking it under 46.
Let's leave it at 48.5. I mean, it's just a group of us doing it. I like that. So I am going to take the under, and I just got a quick reason why. Tone, don't I have a little nickname as far as betting goes and the unders?
Bug?
I am the bug.
The
only reason I was able to keep my head above water this year was betting college football unders. And I continuously gave the Tone and my brothers these undertakes, and they kept hitting. So they call me the bug. I'm going to stick with that name. I'm going to go under. I'm the bug. Bug stands for big under guy.
Sometimes you're a hug.
I'm massive to a fault sometimes.
All right, guys, we have our last Super Bowl prop. We all have the Seahawks winning. So naturally I'm thinking we're all going to have a Seahawk here. Your Super Bowl 60 MVP is.
Oh man, you got to give it to the Red Rocket, right?
Oh, that's his name.
If he gets there, they win. It's almost, I don't want to call it lifetime achievement award, but he's been around for a while, and I think if he wins, it's going to be because they're passing the ball, getting Jackson Smith and Jigba involved, Cooper Kupp, etc. I could be wrong, but it's just so hard for a quarterback not to win it, and I think that Sam Darnold's deserving, so I guess I got to go with Sam Darnold. I have no clue what the odds are on this, though.
Yeah, do we have anyone got the odds?
I guess
it doesn't
matter
for this, but yeah, I'll take Sam Darnold.
Mm. Oh man, I want to go. I want to go defense. Ooh. For some reason.
Okay,
I'm thinking
they're gonna hand out like a defensive player,
a Leonard Williams, DeMarcus Lawrence kind of thing.
This is niche.
It's happened before.
But,
we've had a couple.
I would love for it to happen.
Maybe like a Reek Wolin, perhaps, but I'm not going to do that. I do have the script. I think it's going to be, as my co-host said, the Red Rocket. I'm not comfortable saying it, but Sam Darnold, I think, ends up getting the MVP.
Okay.
I think the safest, the winning team quarterback gets it. If the Patriots end up winning, then no one's going to fucking like us anymore.
I'm going to actually go with someone who's won the Super Bowl MVP before. Cooper Kupp.
Well, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
Cooper Kupp to win another Super Bowl MVP.
I don't hate that. Let me look up the odds.
They
got to
be good.
Can't suck.
I like that.
I think he's going to have a lot of receiving yards, maybe a couple tuds. And I think JSN really opens up the field for Cooper Kupp. So I like the value in that. Whatever it is, I feel like it's got to be solid value.
Hell yeah.
All right, so while Nate's looking up the Super Bowl MVP odds for us, Tone, I know you wanted to throw together a anytime touchdown parlay for the three of us. And then if you're listening, you can take our parlay, you can add to it, or you could take mine out of it because I don't really know what I'm talking about. I'm throwing Cooper Kupp in there for my anytime touchdown personally. I just think that there's a lot of value. I think he's going to have a solid game. But, Tone, I'll throw it to you while Nate's looking that up. Who is going to be your anytime touchdown player for the Super Bowl? And obviously it could be either team. It's not like this MVP where it has to be a Seahawk. Who do you got scoring a touchdown?
Yeah, so admittedly, I have Jackson Smith and Njigba for my personal bets.
Okay.
Because I had used a boost to get him at plus odds. But for the sake of this podcast, I'm going with Stephon Diggs, plus 260.
Okay.
I love that.
So he's actually leading the team in targets in the postseason. Like Nate mentioned earlier, Hunter Henry's questionable. I'm sure he's going to play. If for some off reason he doesn't or he is actually hurt, they're only going to look at Stephon even more. And the Patriots running backs haven't scored a single touchdown in the postseason. Drake May has won. For some reason, they went away from that completely, and maybe they'll continue that trend because Seattle does have the best rush defense. Maybe they're going to think they need to do it through the air. So I didn't want to give out JSN for the show because I wanted something with a little better odds. So I went with Stephon Diggs, anytime touchdown, plus 260.
Okay, so we got Diggs, we got Cooper Kupp, Nate, if all you right. get a second.
Real quick, before I do drop that anytime touchdown, Cooper Kupp is plus 9,000.
Love it.
To get the Super MVP. Not only is he plus 9,000, he's behind two defensive players to win Super Bowl MVP. You got one Marcus Jones from New England, plus 6,000. And who I'm really thinking, am I fucking saying his name? Nick Emmanuel.
Okay.
The safety for Seattle, he's plus 7,500. Could be some value in there. Sam Darnold, plus 115. Super Bowl MVP. Damn near even odds.
Damn.
That's not bad.
Wild, right? But so for my anytime touchdown score, he's questionable, but he's going to see the end zone. I'm going with Hunter Henry at plus 230.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. As far as Super, Patriots players to get a touchdown, I love taking them throughout the year.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So are you able to throw that in real quick? Like a little.
Oh, so who do we got? We got Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp, anytime Tud.
Okay.
Hunter Henry, anytime Tud.
And then.
And Stephon Diggs, anytime Tud. Right, so and I really feel like those three. All right. Cooper Kupp's, it might be a little bit crazy, but.
Not.
I feel like those three, very, very possible.
Oddly enough, Cooper Kupp. Oh no, it kind of switched on me. Cooper Kupp's plus 275, Diggs plus 250, Hunter Henry plus 230, and okay. they're right next to each other. And Tone, we were talking earlier. You could get plus 5,000 odds. I'll throw a five piece on it.
Yeah,
why not?
To win $255. I mean,
yeah.
But then Drake May has to go over 1.5 passing touchdowns, and the tinfoil hat's hurting my head.
Mm-hmm.
Tone sent me a strat. He hit a couple really solid ATDs this year. And he, what were you living in between, like the plus 140 to plus 195, plus 220 kind of area?
So I got, I exhausted all my luck within 3 weeks of the season. I hit two anytime touchdown parlays, $5 into $1,750 and $5 into $1,000. And my strategy is, and I wish I would have figured this out earlier because I didn't figure this out again until like week 15. I like to, like Nate said, I like to take guys around that plus 150 to plus 200 range. And I like to take about five of those and parlay them together.
Yeah.
Those guys score all the time and the odds are insane. So, like I said, I hit two of those within 3 weeks. I actually should have hit two more within a 5 week period. Except for two guys got called back for a flag. They scored the touchdown. It had nothing to do with the play. It got called back.
That's tough.
Again, it's just, I got super lucky. I'm not saying it will happen again. But I try to look for things that I consider good odds. Like, I'll put $5 down to win $1,750 any day of the week if I only need five or six things to happen.
Sure.
And that's combining those plus 150s to plus 200s in a parlay.
Cool. All right, so that's our anytime touchdown parlay, and that pretty much concludes our Super Bowl talk. Are you guys overall, now that we've discussed it, are we excited about the Super Bowl or are we just ready to get to next season? Where are we at?
So super excited, but we do have a couple more things.
Okay.
Tone, you put together a parlay? No? Did you not put together a parlay?
I did not.
Okay.
I just couldn't find anything that I felt great about giving out.
I do have, before we wrap up the Super Bowl talk, I do have a couple I have three parlays that I put together.
Okay.
I got a super long shot. I got a roughly long shot that will probably hit, and I got a plus 100 guy.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, so I sent these dudes this first one earlier. If you guys want to write this down at home, it's probably one of the craziest odds that I've seen. Let me see if I can find my pick. Okay, so I have a four-leg parlay. I ended up just putting $6 on it to win $10,000. It's a plus. I obviously did a little DraftKings boost. It was plus. I think it's plus $125,000. If Cooper Kupp scores a touchdown,
which he will.
If Drake May throws an interception, which I absolutely love,
very possible.
My guy Kyle Williams to come out of the woodworks, the 69th overall pick in this recent draft, scores a touchdown. And if Travion Henderson leads the game in rush yards, that's the only four things that needs to happen to win 10 grand. It's not going to hit, maybe. But for a four-leg parlay, to put $6, I'm not even going to remember that $6 in my life. It's not the worst one. I got another one. Let me open up my app. I'm so sorry. I ruined everything. So this one's plus 100 odds. It's Mac Hollins to get two catches and DeMario Douglas to get 20 receiving yards.
I like
plus
that.
Plus 100.
Seems doable.
Yeah.
Kayshon Booty, even better, to get 20 receiving yards.
Yeah.
He's only got six last week. He's going to get way more targets this week. They're going to be all over Diggs. It could be one catch.
Yeah.
And then my last parlay that I really like, you're going to get plus 1,200 odds. And as I read these off to you, you're going to be like, huh, interesting. Austin Hooper, one catch. Kenneth Walker, 10 rush attempts. Stephon Diggs, three catches. Jackson Smith and Jigba, five catches. DeMario Douglas, two catches. And I just need both quarterbacks to throw an interception. And you'll get plus 1,200. I'm telling you, both quarterbacks are going to throw an interception in this game. I would put my life on it if I didn't love myself so much.
Okay. Shout out, Nate, RIP.
Listen right now. If you're still listening, both quarterbacks are going to throw an interception without a doubt in my mind. It could even happen in the first half. Both these guys are going to throw an interception. All right, that's all I got.
Heard it here first.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen
for sure.
You could just parlay the two of those. You'll get plus like 190 or something like that.
All right. Well, sounds like it's gonna be a decent game. Hopefully, it's not a blowout. Hopefully, it's exciting. And nonetheless, always looking forward to it. I know Tone is looking forward to Bad Bunny. Nate looking forward to Charlie Puth. I think it's gonna be a good game overall. Hopefully, Nate's bets hit. They're a little crazy, but hey, I love the hustle. And who doesn't love a long shot bet? That's what our thoughts and takes are for the game. That's our bets. I highly encourage you guys, if you're listening, to follow along to Tone and Nate's picks. As long as we've been doing this show, you guys have always had a winning record. To this day, I still like to reach out to you guys and ask you for your plays. So I'm just letting you guys know, listeners-wise, I personally reach out to these two all the time. And They have a nice winning percentage, and that's why they do what they do. So I highly encourage it. Hopefully you guys at home enjoy the game. But that's it as far as our doc goes this week. And Nate, I'm going to throw it over to you to let you guys close it out.
Yeah, so obviously I mentioned this at the start of the show. You haven't really heard from us in almost 3 years. It's crazy to think how fast time goes, especially the older we get. It's been 3 years since we've been on the microphone. We did this show, I think we lasted around 3 years that we were on the show. Me, Antonio, AJ, we talked every single day. We saw each other once, twice, sometimes even three times a week. We built a genuine brotherhood that we could take with us to our graves. We became close. I consider these guys two of my closest friends. Obviously, life takes you in other directions where you want to go sometimes, but the fact that we are sitting down here together, the three of us right now, is truly a blessing, and I'm lucky to have these guys in my life. Real quick, before we kind of shut things down, if you guys kind of want a brief what your last 3 years have looked like. I know a lot of people listening are close to us, and maybe they just want to know. Tone, if you kind of want to, what has the last 3 years for you kind of looked like?
And yeah, what's the, Father Tone been up
yeah,
to?
Yeah, what's the next yeah, hell I mean, three I'm years?
Over there? Fully living up to the name. So to me, that's the biggest thing that's going on with me is I'm a husband and I'm a father.
A two-time father.
So in the last, 3 years, we had our second son, and, I have a lovely wife, two healthy boys, super blessed. I'm very lucky to have, be in the position I am. And I don't know what I don't have too much to say. It's just, I've worked hard to kind of get to the position I am, and things seem like are kind of paying off. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. But I love it. I'm so lucky to have the home that I built and the life that I built with my family. And, it's no complaints on my end. I'm busier than ever, but I'm in such a good spot just in a number of ways. So I'm very lucky. I'm very blessed and just trying to keep on keeping on and get through. The biggest thing for me is this winter's been kicking my ass. It just came on so abruptly. And I'm used to hanging out with buddies and golfing and going to the parks and going on trails. And it was just immediately no, you're going to be inside all winter.
It's almost felt like COVID all over again.
It's been brutal, dude.
I've just been hibernating and I just have not gone outside.
Yeah, it's been tough.
It's been real tough.
But life's been beautiful. It's an amazing spot to be in. How about yourself, AJ?
Yeah, over the last 3 years, not a lot's changed. Just kind of rolling with the 50 states, 50 murders that Nate mentioned while I am on a break at the moment. Pretty much just piggybacking off Tone, living the married life, no kids, but doing the husband thing, and I love it. I did start kickboxing.
Did you really?
Not that long ago. Okay. I've been doing it for about 4 months now. Shout out to my guy Dakota. He's been doing it for a long time, and
shout out D-Say.
Hey, D-Say, he was a big part of this show. He did a lot of behind the scenes stuff that we didn't really want to mess with, and he was awesome about it. He showed up every day and no complaints, and he did everything we could have ever wanted. Shout out D-Say.
Yeah, he dragged me into kickboxing. I really enjoy it.
Do you want to drop your gym? Where do you go?
East Coast Martial Arts.
Okay,
where's it's out that? In North Canton, Belden Village area.
Oh, very nice.
It's been really cool. Not recently, because like Tone said, winter has been terrible. Mm-hmm. But I really got into hiking.
Okay.
So I did a couple different states over the summer. Went to West Virginia twice. Went over to Chicago. Did some stuff over in Chicago. Ohio, did a lot of hiking. So just big hiking guy.
I wouldn't think there would be a lot of hiking in Chicago. Is that a thing?
It was more like urban.
Yeah. Walking. A lot of cool urban Chicago stuff.
We have,
sorry. I didn't want to cut you off. Just quick. Speaking of Chicago, they're building outside of Chicago one of the first completely indoor golf courses.
Oh. That's a thing?
Okay. Yeah. I think it's supposed to come out in 2027.
18 hole?
I'm not sure. I believe so, but.
That's crazy. Wow.
That's going to be huge. I think it's the suburbs of Chicago.
Where the fuck could they put all that?
So very interesting. Sorry, I did not mean to cut you off.
No, it's it's
interesting.
That's about it. Hiking, kickboxing, trying to stay warm.
Dude.
Just kind of trying to hit these bets when I can. A lot of times just tailing these two. So, yeah, life's been good. Nate, all good with you? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm working the traditional, the good old M to F, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. I'm working on my golf game a lot more this winter. It's something that I know it's not something you're going to gain financially from, but it's something mentally that I always wanted to get over. I've gotten to the point in my golf game where I always feel like I've maxed out how well I am, my potential, but this year I kind of want to take a step forward. I'm in my fourth year of coaching high school baseball.
Nice.
I am going back to being the head JV coach this year. I was an assistant at varsity, but the way the coaching stuff kind of worked out, I'm going to be the head JV guy for Springfield baseball. Other than that, I'm happier than I've been in a long time.
Love to hear that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's cool. It's nice to be happy. It's taken a while to kind of really find myself, to love the person that I've become and the person that I am. I know towards the end of the podcast a few years ago, I was going through a lot of mental health stuff, and I've been able to kind of counteract that with activities that are healthy for my mind and body, and I'm in a great spot. I'm so glad I was able to contact
these dudes
and get these guys over here. It's
love to hear that.
I mean, just being, having these headphones on with the mic and just talking with the boys again, this is a really cool night for me. So
nice.
Yeah, it looks like all three of us are kind of in a good spot. Do you guys have anything else that you want to say before we log off?
I don't know. I think just thinking about mental health, this is something that I gave advice to one of our family members that are just much younger. I think it's important is think about how you talk to yourself. I told him, be kind to yourself. If you're not going to be kind to yourself, who will be? So it's so important to work on and develop that relationship with yourself, identifying your pros and your cons and being at peace with it. But like, how you talk to yourself is so important. If you wake up every day and say you're awesome, maybe you will be. If you wake up every day and say I suck, you most likely will do that as well. So wasn't really planning on sharing anything like that, but when we talk about mental health, I think so many people struggle with the concept and the idea. I think a lot of it starts internally.
Exactly.
Is how do you talk to yourself? Because it doesn't matter what you do to the outside world, that voice inside is going to be one of the most influential ones that we live with. So I just want anyone that's listening still, take that. If you don't take anything else, fuck our picks.
Yeah.
Start talking to yourself nicer.
Yeah, and it's a sports betting podcast. Sports betting is actually really good for your mental health. So keep betting and keep plugging away. Oh, eventually, yeah. You'll get to where you want to be.
You're going to hit the big one.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I know we didn't really have a closeout episode 3 years back. So if it's the swan song, just wanted to shout you guys out personally and appreciate you, like I said, bringing me on. It's been fun. I learned a lot through this little project. And always fun to talk football. Even if no one's listening, it's still good to just hop on the mic and shoot some shit. So shout out to you guys. You guys had a good project. We were definitely ahead of the times. It's definitely a oversaturated market now, which I kind of think kind of played into us stepping back a little bit. But props to you guys for getting in there and doing it, because I definitely feel like Luck Changers was ahead of the times for sure.
I agree.
We got to do a lot of cool things, and we got to talk to a lot of cool people via this podcast, whether it was going to 1899 and interviewing JM and Brian and them compensating our whole entire night as far as drinks and the bay they gave us. We got to talk to people like Duran Grant and Ryan Keenan and Super Bowl champion Dominic Hickson was on our show. That's crazy to think about.
Trent? Book it with Trent.
I think we got a hold of him way ahead before, you know what I mean? It's we've done a lot of cool. We did the 999 challenge together. We did the 60 shots in 60 minutes or something like that. We've done a lot of cool shit. I'm not going to sit here and say that the Luck Changers are going to ever be a thing again. But what I will say, and I will guarantee, is that this will not be the last time you see Luck Changer's name. Whether Antonio or AJ, whether you guys have the time, obviously you guys are my one and two, my top two guys. Every single time I go to be on the microphone, you guys are going to be my first ask. If you guys can make it, that'd be fucking sick. If not, I think starting next NFL season, I am going to bring back the Luck Changers podcast.
Dude. Beautiful.
Obviously, you guys are the first ask. If you guys are able to make it that week, that'd be amazing. If not, then I know our guy, our MMA our MMA guy Andrew Ferramonti is kind of itching to get back on the microphone.
Government.
Oh yeah, Monty the Italian. Sorry, I just dropped name dropping.
Shout out Monty.
I know another guy who was a short part of this podcast. Wanted he get back on the mic here and there. He was a little
shout out Mikey.
Yeah, shout out Mikey. He was a little tough in the moderator spot. I think AJ has definitely perfected that, but. You never know what can happen, but I will tell you right now, by a month before the next NFL season, you're going to see, Luck Chasers podcast a couple times.
Hell yeah, dude.
So don't, it's, this ain't goodbye. This is, I'll see you soon.
Okay.
I'll twist arms, I'll break arms just to get you guys on as much as possible. Obviously, life happens and you guys won't be able to make it every single week, but I'm going to do whatever I can to get you guys back as much as humanly possible, because this is a family. This is something we started so long ago, and I can honestly say that the Luck Changers podcast has changed my life for the absolute better, and I'm lucky to have you guys in my life for that. So I appreciate y'all.
Appreciate it. Love you. Love you guys.
Yeah, love you dudes.
I think
love you boys.
I think we're about out.
Yeah.
Bro.
So as far as the Luck Changers podcast, I'm your host Nate, co-host Tone, moderator AJ. I fucked it up. But we are out.
Peace.
Later.
Peace, somebody here.